Welcome to Murder with the Misses. I'm Darren.
And I'm Amy. And today we're going to tell you the story of Johnny Lewis. Today we're going to tell you a tragic story, as always. The name might not immediately sound familiar, but 28-year-old Johnny was an actor. He started young, as many do. He did Pizza Hut commercials and had small roles and recurring roles in things like The O.C., Malcolm in the Middle, and later on shows like Criminal Minds, Cold Case, and Bones. But we remember him as Kip Halfsack Epps on Sons of Anarchy. His character was nicknamed Halfsack because he had lost a testicle in Iraq. But we're going to tell you about the actor, Johnny Lewis. He was a native Californian who had dual citizenship in the U.S. and Canada. His dad was of Russian Jewish descent, but his mom was Scottish and Swedish, and she was born in Alberta. His parents were pretty high ranking in Scientology, and they were pretty high up there in like the highest rank, I guess you can get, but I don't know anything about Scientology, so, or can pronounce the names of what these ranks are, so we're going to bypass that. He was a nice guy, calm, loving, and a decent human being. He moved to Hollywood when he was 18, using the money he had saved from his smaller roles he had done up to that point. He moved into the Wilton Hilton, which is known as the frat row of young Hollywood. He lived with people like Adam Brody from The O.C. back then, but you may know him now from the Shazam movies. Brett Harrison, also from The O.C., and more recently, the movie Orange County. And Ashley Simpson, who is Jessica Simpson's younger sister, who is also a singer.
Now, when you say the Shazam movie, you talking about the one that nobody remembers, you know, with the Sinbad?
Not the Sinbad.
Or, you know, you're not talking about Kazam with Shaq. You know?
No.
You're talking about the new Shazam ones.
New Shazams, you know? Yes.
So there's not no Mandela effect or nothing like that,
nope.
Right?
Okay. No.
All right, gotcha. All right. In Hollywood, he began gain some traction and, you know, gets bigger roles.
Yeah, like you can see the progression as he goes from just little commercials all the way up to big things like Sons. He even dated Katy Perry back when she was just Katie Hudson. The two bonded because of his background in Scientology and her being raised in her father's church because he was a preacher. I believe that Katie was doing Christian music back at this time, so a stark contrast from the megastar that she is now. The two dated for about a year when they split in 2006. She wanted to focus on her career, and boy, did she. Supposedly, two of her tracks on her Teenage Dream album were written about him, The One That Got Away and Circle the Drain. Then in 2008, things really changed.
That is when he landed the role in Sons of Anarchy. It was a huge hit show. You know, he really hit the jackpot.
Yeah, that was a big deal. And he was in it from the beginning, yeah. So they didn't even know it was going to be a big deal, and it got pretty big.
Yeah, and he was in quite a few seasons, too.
Well, we'll talk about that. He was in two, first two, but he had a key role. Oh. He wasn't just some prospect in the background. He literally was one of the characters that you would see regularly.
Yeah.
This is what he came out here for to begin with. When they started Sons, they all had to take motorcycle training and things like that. A lot of the cast developed a love for motorcycles, including Johnny. But it is said that some of the cast also got caught up in more of a biker lifestyle. While Johnny was known to be off on his own reading poetry or chilling out, he didn't drink or do drugs. But as time went on, he wasn't happy either. He was more of an artist and writer type. He journaled about philosophy. He went to the show's creator, Kurt Sutter, and said he wanted to be written off the show because it was getting too violent for his liking. They killed him off the show in the season 2 finale by having him be stabbed while protecting baby Abel, who, if you don't know, is the main character's son. So kind of a heroic end, but also a violent end. Ironically, he would go on to play a serial killer on Criminal Minds. And there seemed to be no hard feelings, as Kurt would go on to say, "I will tell you that I've been having conversations with Johnny Lewis all season, and Johnny wasn't happy on the show. Creatively, he really wanted out of his contract. I don't want an actor that's not happy. It's not good for the actor, and it's not good for the show. I love Johnny. I'd work with him again in a heartbeat." Now, after Sons, he was having new headshots done, and he was told by the photographer about a well-known writer's villa, which is where struggling actors and actresses stayed when trying to make it. This is a 1927 Spanish-style mansion that the landlady, Miss Kathy, rented out rooms in. These were rooms that had their own sitting area and private bathroom and ranged anywhere from $1,650 to $3,000 a month in rent. A lot of people had stayed here over the years, like Val Kilmer, Parker Posey, Paula Poundstone, and Chris Parnell. Miss Kathy would also make homemade tamales to make the guests feel better if they had a bad audition or were feeling down. He only stayed there for a couple of months at this time, but he really seemed to like it.
Oh, in 2010, he gets his then-girlfriend Diane pregnant, and they move in together. They had their daughter, Cola Mae, on April 6, 2010.
But Johnny soon moved out, and they started a custody battle, one that Johnny would lose. On October 30th of 2011 is where the tragic story starts for Johnny. He took out his motorcycle to clear his head and was about 2 hours away from Los Angeles when he wrecks the bike. Reports are that he was not wearing a helmet, which is illegal in the state of California, and he knew better since he had that safety training when on Suns. He was taken to the hospital where he seemed to have minor injuries. He didn't even have a concussion, but the doctors wanted to do an MRI to be safe. Johnny refused and left the hospital. Johnny's dad would also try to get him to have an MRI done, but he always refused. And Johnny was not the same after this accident. Everyone around him noticed a change. At first, it was just weird things, like lifelong friends noticed sometimes he would talk in a British accent. Weird, but not too concerning. I imagine with all the method actors in Hollywood, you probably see that a lot. El Madonna just went across the pond for a little while and came back with an accent. In January of 2012, Johnny's mom was minding her business, cooking some omelets for breakfast, when Johnny just jumped up and said he was going for a walk. He was still in his pajamas. Shortly thereafter, two men came home to find Johnny in their house. They tell him to leave, and a fight breaks out. Johnny hits both the men in the head with a Perrier bottle, a glass bottle. The men fought back, hitting Johnny at least 17 times in the head, but it doesn't seem to affect him. He actually even goes on to bite one of the men.
But finally, they were able to subdue him and call the cops. Johnny gets arrested for trespassing, burglary, and assault with a deadly weapon.
Yeah, that Perrier bottle. He says that he heard a baby crying or someone yelling for help, depending on which report you read. And that's why he broke into the condo, to save the baby or the person. There was no one in the condo at the time, let alone a baby. While he's in jail, he bangs his head against the concrete walls and tried to jump off the second floor. His face is swollen, his eyes are black, and he has a sensitivity to light. They do a 5150 on him, which is where they place you on a 72-hour psychiatric hold for evaluation. When that was over, and he was released from the hold, his dad bailed him out. The doctor had written on his paperwork, blunt head trauma and suicidal. He stayed with his parents when he was released, and because of his sensitivity to light, he tried to disable the fuse box to the house. At some point during this time, he also reportedly tried to commit suicide by slashing his wrists. On February 10th of 2012, he was in Santa Monica in a yogurt shop and started talking to a family. The family left, and as they were walking down the sidewalk, they heard fast footsteps behind them.
When the dad turns around and he sees Johnny running towards them, he sucker punches the dad. Johnny is arrested again for assault. The dad happened to be an off-duty police officer.
Yeah, so he sucker punched an off-duty cop.
Yeah.
That's not going to get you.
No, that ain't helping. No.
That's not helping at all. Johnny's dad bails him out again. A couple of days later, Johnny walked fully clothed into the ocean and stayed there for quite a while. He ended up having to be treated for hypothermia at the hospital. Just days after that, on the 18th, at 9:23 a.m., police are called to a house because the woman living there saw Johnny trying to open her window. She yelled at him, asking what he was doing. He said he was looking for his friend Bob. She said, "No, you're trying to break into my house." And Johnny just turned around and walked away. Police find him, and they arrest him again. He tried telling them that it was okay, that he was there, that it was his friend's house. But the woman had no idea who he was. By May 2012, his friends would say that he had a dead stare look, and his mental health was declining. He was transferred to a treatment facility. Doctors prescribed him with Zyprexa and Abilify, which are used to treat schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. But he refused to take the meds. He would actually cheek them, they said, where you put them in your cheek and then you wait for them to leave and you spit them out. He claimed he was addicted to marijuana, but no one believed that, not even the fellow patients. So he switched that, said he was addicted to alcohol, saying, "That demon rum, man, it's possessed me." He said, they started to believe him finally. They said that he would hide his pills in his cheek and spit them out, which I already said. His attorney worked it out so that instead of 1 year in jail, he would stay and be treated in the mental health treatment place, where he could ride horses and live a good life while getting some much-needed help. Sounds good, right? Well, not to Johnny. He fired his lawyer and represented himself. He ended up being sentenced to 1 year in jail, but because of severe overcrowding, he only spent 6 weeks in jail before he was released on September 21st.
He was back in the free world again, and he asked his dad if he would get a hold of Miss Kathy to see if see if she had anything available back at Ryder's Villa.
Yeah, so he got out, and like the next day after he gets out, his dad takes him to get clothes and things like that, and was like, "Could you please call Miss Kathy?" Because the last time he was happy there, or the last time he was happy was there, so he wanted to try to get back to his happy place. And his dad was more than happy to make the call. Johnny moved back into the Red Room. There was always actors there from Melrose Place and NYPD Blue hanging out all the time because they had friends living there. So there were parties all the time. And Miss Kathy was like a grandmother to all of them. But no one had mentioned to Kathy all of the recent trouble Johnny had been getting into. His dad has since said, "It didn't occur to me to say, oh, by the way, he was having problems. I thought this is a place he was familiar with and they would give him a lot of love. Kathy made sure his room would be ready and waiting for him." By the 24th, he moved back in. His dad called him the next day to check in and said Johnny was agitated, saying, "I'm busy, what do you want?" But during the conversation, he calmed down and told his dad that they would talk later. This would be the last time he would talk to Johnny. On September 26th of 2012, the neighbor to the villa, Dan, was inside his house and noticed Johnny pacing out front for about 15 minutes. He only had on a pair of jeans and red shoes. Johnny came up to the door, staring into the peephole, almost like he could see through it into the house. Dan cracked the door a little bit, and Johnny said, "Hi, I'm John, your new neighbor." Dan said, "Nice to meet you, John," and began to open the door a little bit more now that he realized what he was there for. But Johnny just turned around and walked away. About 30 to 40 minutes later, Dan hears his wife screaming for him in the backyard. Dan came out to see Johnny on top of a painter that Dan had hired, and Johnny was physically assaulting him. Dan tried to pull Johnny away, and Johnny punched Dan. Mind you, Dan is in his 70s. They said that it seemed like Johnny wasn't affected by their blows as they were trying to fight him off, and he seemed to have superhuman strength. They hit Johnny with a chair, and that stunned him enough for them to get away and finally managed to make their way into the house. But as Dan is shutting the door, Johnny's arm comes flying in. They slammed the door repeatedly on Johnny's arm to get him to pull it back so they could shut the door. And they finally get the door shut and locked. They run to the window and look out just in time to see Johnny leap over a privacy fence and back into the villa's property.
Dan said he was, low-key Spider-Man the way he vaulted over the fence.
Yeah, they said he literally just, put his hands on it and then his whole body just flew over it. Like, he'd done it his whole life. Police arrive a few minutes later to the villa. The villa has a curved driveway that runs along the side of the house and it goes kind of up an incline as you go around. As they make their way up to it, or up the driveway, they see Johnny's body laying in the driveway. It appears that he fell from the balcony of the second floor or from the roof based on the obvious head trauma he had. The cops go into the villa and everything looks normal on the first floor. But upstairs, there's glass everywhere, damage showing a struggle with furniture knocked over. The first room they come to is the red room, which was Johnny's room, and they see a rusty, bloody hammer on the floor. They go into the bathroom where they find Kathy's cat, dead. I mean, like, bad dead, beaten. Across the hall in the master bedroom, Kathy's room, they find more signs of a struggle. There's blood everywhere. And 81-year-old Kathy is laying on the floor on her side and leaned against her bed. She's been severely beaten. Cause of death was later determined to be blunt force trauma and strangulation. No one else was in the villa at the time, luckily. Johnny's autopsy later showed that he had scratch marks on both sides of his neck, likely from Kathy trying to fight him off. And his cause of death was obvious trauma from the fall. Belief is that he went over and introduced himself to the neighbor, and while he was gone in that 30 to 40 minute window, he murdered Kathy and the cat, then returned to the neighbor's house and attacked them. Once jumping the fence, he likely jumped off the house, but since they couldn't tell if he intentionally jumped or if he was trying more Spider-Man moves on the side of the house and fell, they couldn't rule it either way. The way the neighbor described his superhuman strength and inability to feel pain, the initial thought by police was that he was on bath salts because those were really big at the time and the news was reporting it that way as well.
But 8 weeks later, the autopsy report came in and they tested for all drugs they could for, you know, they tested for everything and he was negative. No drugs were in his system at all.
None. Isn't that weird? Johnny and Kathy were reportedly in an argument in the days prior to the murder. Now, mind you, he'd only lived there for a couple of days, so that means they had to immediately get into an argument. Because Johnny was messing with the fuse box, just like he did at his parents' house right after his motorcycle accident, so he likely was still having the sensitivity to light issue. There was a lot of social media posts from fellow actors and friends saying, "One of the nicest guys I've ever had the pleasure of working with, and I have no words to describe what I'm feeling right now. So tragic and unnecessary." And Johnny Lewis was one of my best friends. He was very, very ill. His actions were a despicable result of that. But it was Sons of Anarchy creator Kurt Sutter's statement that people fixated on. It said, "It was a tragic end for an extremely talented guy who unfortunately had lost his way. I wish I could say that I was shocked by the events last night. But I was not. I'm deeply sorry that an innocent life had to be thrown into his destructive path. Yes, it's a day of mourning, but it's also a day of awareness and gratitude. Sadly, some of us carry the message by dying." Many people think that this was out of line and that he shouldn't have said that he wasn't shocked that this happened. But I think he's kind of right. He refused to get help or take medications to get help with what he was struggling with. And I know that when you have issues like this, that you truly believe that you're okay and don't need the intervention. But he was left unmedicated, untreated, and unsupervised. At a minimum, he was at risk for self-harm. Since he was having violent outbursts and attacking people, it's not too far-fetched to think that he might take someone with him. That's just a sad fact.
And the great debate with this is head trauma versus previous mental health issues.
Yeah. So that's what everybody was kind of going around and around about. Since there's no drugs in his system, they were thinking the only two options had to be had the head trauma from the motorcycle wreck, which is what his dad truly believes, or that this was just a mental health issue that he had that just got worse as time progressed.
I think it's probably the head. I mean, the whole thing is he wouldn't ever get the scan, so.
He never got the scan, so we'll never know. Like I said, his dad believes it's the head trauma. And during this story alone, we know of several instances where he was hit in the head. You've got the motorcycle wreck, then the 17 punches from the two men that he broke into their house, and that's just what they can remember, and him smashing his head in the concrete wall of his cell. The doctor did mention, after the 5150, that he had head trauma. But even though damage to parts of your brain can cause symptoms like uncharacteristic behaviors, violent outbursts, and a lack of your own personal safety, the doctor at the clinic that he was at for the 5150 didn't believe that his injuries in any of these instances were enough to cause any of those symptoms. With the trauma caused by his fall and death, it couldn't be looked at then either. I didn't see any reports, though, of him being checked for like a CTE like Aaron Hernandez had, but they usually develop over years of repeated head trauma. I read it's more like 10 years or more. Johnny's incidents were a lot closer together than that. This story I just told you all happened within a few months. The other option is the mental health side. Schizophrenia comes to mind immediately for me. In men, that can usually start showing symptoms in their early to mid-20s. It also causes what we just talked about, and you can experience periods of worsening and then remission of the symptoms, so you're not necessarily raging all the time or depressed all the time. You go back and forth. This is the same with bipolar disorder. That represents similarly, and average age for the onset of symptoms is around the age of 25, so also mid-20s. People will experience different symptoms, but generally, there's also manic episodes followed by depressive episodes. All of these options could fit the case based on what Johnny's actions tell us. So it really is something that doctors said can't be properly diagnosed after the fact.
I mean, it's obvious he needed help and wasn't getting it.
Yeah, that's one thing we can definitely say is that he needed help, but he refused the MRIs. Nobody forced him to get an MRI, which I don't know if they can or not.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just one of them deals. Just, I don't know. He could have done more for himself.
He could have, but then you got to think too, if you have a mental issue, mental struggle with what's going on there, you don't think there's anything wrong with you.
Yeah.
Like none of this stuff sticks out as strange. It's just the people around him can tell you it was strange.
Yeah.
So somebody, I think his dad probably really, really wishes that he had done more, because people also ask when he bailed him out that last time, why would he not keep him at his house? Why would he let him go to Miss Kathy's, where he's around other people and nobody can watch him?
Well, and that's the whole thing. I don't understand why he would, do that because of all the trouble he's been getting into, all the violent trouble he's been getting into.
Right, that was one of the main issues people was having. And the dad really does, like I said, he thought that Miss Kathy's would be a good thing for him because he had been there before, but I don't think he even realized how far this had progressed. Mm-hmm. But for me as a parent, I know it's easy to say armchair quarterbacking or whatever they call it, but if my kid had tried to commit suicide several times, was just going up to random strangers and being violent and things like that, it's a big red flag. And if you notice these kind of things in somebody, maybe get them some help. Whether it's going to piss them off or not, it doesn't matter. You're saving their life and possibly other people, especially their safety. So, and if you or anyone you know needs help, please contact the National Lifeline by calling or texting any message to 988.
All right. Well, that's the end of this one. Come check us out on the next one.
Tell your friends. Bye.